Father, we come this morning to you, Lord. We thank you for, again, another day of life. We thank you, Lord, for this day, your day, Lord. You give it to us, and Lord, we come today, and we want to give ourselves to you today. Thank you for this day. We can come together as your children, gathered around your word, Lord, and hear from you. God, I pray, Lord, today you would have your will and way, Lord, in every word that's said. I pray for Miss Ennis, you bless her. Others in our church, Lord, that are sick. Some are here that are not feeling good. I pray for them. Those that are not here, I pray, God, you'd encourage them, dear God. Lord, especially with our pastor, Lord, and encourage him his next days ahead, Lord, as he's facing things too. Lord, we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow, but Lord, we're so glad that we know that you're with us no matter what we have to face. And God, that's encouragement to us. Lord, bless your word now, Lord, as we read it together and study it as we focus upon Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, once again. Matthew 22 today, as we continue our thoughts upon what think ye of Christ. What think ye of Christ? We talked about the multitudes. We talked about the people in Jerusalem when he rode in on the ass. Said, who is this? We talked about, of course, all men, how men think of Christ. Some say call him John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, Isaiah, and just a prophet. Different people have a different opinion about Christ. We've seen that. But Peter gave the right answer. He, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I like that, what he said. We're looking today, as we look today in Matthew chapter 22, we'll begin reading with verse 41 and 42. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? What think ye of Christ? That's our thought again today as we look upon the Word of God today. Last week we talked about why men ought to think of Christ, why people should think about Christ. You know, the greatest thing that's ever happened in this world was the fact that God loved us so much that Jesus Christ came and died for us. Nothing greater could ever happen to people in the world than that. We see last week, as we talked about Christ and why we should think about him, first of all, because of his position that he fills between God and man. There's a position between God and man has been broken because of sin in our lives, because we're a sinner. And Jesus Christ come to fill that place for us, that we might have connection with God the Father and might be saved. We talked about the fact that he's the eternal Son of God. And it's only through him that we can know God, that we can approach God, or even serve God because of Jesus Christ. We said last week he was a mediator between us and God. We said last week that he thought upon us while we were sinners. Romans 5 verse 8 tells us that. How he thought about us when we were sinners and Christ died for us. I'm glad that he thought about us when we were sinners, aren't you? We also see that he was counted a sinner for us. That we might be counted righteous because of what he's done for us. As we looked at what he did last week, what men all should think of Christ. Also, not only because of the position of Christ, but also because of what Christ has done for all men. And then we see because of what Christ yet will do for all men. We know one day he's coming. He's coming in a cloud. He's going to rapture up the dead first, and we that are alive are going to be caught up in the air. We're going to be with him throughout eternity. What a blessing we have. But listen, we have something really to look forward to, don't we? After this life. We may not have much in this life to look forward to, but after this life, it's all going to be well. It's all going to be good, you know? And I'm glad today to know that. We also see that, not only that, he's going to set up judgment one day. Every person is going to stand before him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. As we looked at Christ last week. We know that time is fast coming. I really believe, folks, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. We're closer today than we were yesterday, aren't we? And I believe the time is coming very, very fast. And then we all will be, have our minds focused on the one who came and died for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to be good that we can think about good things for a change. Other thoughts about Christ. Today I want us to focus upon what God the Father thought about Christ. What God the Father thought about Christ. First of all, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 3. Turn back a few pages. Matthew chapter 3. What God the Father thought about Christ. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Now we know this is the baptism of Jesus. But I want you to notice today, as you look at this, what God the Father thought about Christ, first of all. We see in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now we see here the request of Jesus. He comes to a certain place, a certain town, a certain river. He comes there to be baptized by John the Baptist. This is his request. Now we notice also in verse 14, John's response. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John was reluctant, if you please, to the request from Jesus about his own need to be baptized, rather than him baptizing Jesus. We see here how he responded to that. And we see in verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. We see here the response of Jesus. It was to be today. It was to be immediately, John. I want you to baptize me. Because we see, he says, it's necessary. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then we notice here the response of course, John the Baptist. Then he suffered him. He suffered him. So we see here, it was done immediately. It was very important. Jesus said, this has got to be done, John. You have to do it. You're my forerunner. I place you in the place you've been in for this purpose, to baptize me. And we see here in verse 16, here the results of the baptism. We notice in verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. That's a good indication of immersion, is it not? How can you come out of the water if you're not in it? Amen? You got to be covered with water, can't get out of it. Well, he said here that Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, notice, the heavens were opened unto him. First of all, we see when he was baptized, the heavens were opened. The heavens were opened unto him. Notice also, we see not only that, but verse number 16, we see, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. So we see here the Spirit descending down as a dove upon him. And then we see the last thing here, we see in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, who's that? God the Father, amen? God the Father. We have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all here witnessing the baptism of Jesus Christ. And we see, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, notice these words, this is my beloved Son, notice, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father put his approval upon Jesus Christ for the ministry now he's going to go into. He's just beginning. He just got baptized, and now the work has just begun as far as the ministry on this earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see what God the Father thought about Christ. He said to the world, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, I know he's going to do what he's going to do. It's going to please me. I'm pleased with him because of the call that he has in his life. So we see here that God the Father, first of all, he approves of the Lord Jesus Christ being his Son and what he's going to do. Now, notice also, we see also as the Lord Jesus Christ goes about now ministering, turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. We see also, as Jesus begins now his ministry and he goes about, and God the Father, first of all, says, I approve of his work he's going to do. And we see here what God the Father thought about Christ. First of all, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. I know he's going to do what I've asked him to do. He's going to do exactly that. Now look in Philippians chapter number 2. I want to begin reading with verse number 1. We know here in these passages of Scripture, Paul was writing. He's writing about humility. and the essentials of it, which is love, which is also the spirit and purpose of the life. But he's given us the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was what he was. In verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bounds and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, Paul is giving us here, if you please, the pattern of our life as a believer, how we ought to live as a believer. In verse number 3, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, verse 5, he says, let this mind, or the first four verses, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of all this, he's saying now, wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. First of all, we see what Christ thinks of, what God the Father thinks of Christ in all that he did, in all his humbleness that he did, what he went through. We see, first of all, he has given him a name that is above every name. There is no name, no precious, no more greater than Jesus Christ. Amen? No other name. He said God has highly exalted him. He has rewarded him, if you please, by giving him this name called Jesus. Called Jesus, you see. He is giving him a name that is above every name. God highly honored Christ by giving him this special name. He had to have a name, amen? And he gave him the name Jesus. He gave him this special name. He has given Christ a name above every name. His name is the most glorious name ever uttered in the world today. There's other names like Jesus. It's precious, just his name, his name. So we see, first of all, Christ has been rewarded. He's been highly exalted by God the Father, by God the Father giving him this name. We see here, this is what God the Father thinks about his Son, Jesus Christ. He loved him so much, he's exalted him. He's given him a name that is above every name. We see at the name of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, this is a name that forgives our sin. He forgives our sin. Our sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? He forgives us our sin. We also see this name gives us access to the very presence of God. How can we go to God? Only through who? Jesus, his name. There's something special about that name. We see we have access to God. He forgives our sins. And also, the name we pray in. We pray in Jesus' name. What a privilege to know we have someone to pray in his name, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this is what God the Father thinks of Christ. We see because of the name that he has given him, the name that is above every name, the most precious name in the whole world, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, how you want to say it. Either way you say it, there's a difference in it. There's a difference in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. They're closely related, but they're different. There is a difference in their name, that name, Jesus Christ. These two names, sometimes it's Jesus, sometimes it's Christ, referred to in the Bible. And these two Christs have their own meanings. So these names have their own meanings, we see here. With other times, you find them together. Sometimes you find them apart. It could be Jesus Christ, or it could be Christ Jesus in the Word of God. We see here, this is what God the Father thinks of his Son, Jesus Christ. We see in the New Testament, Jesus is equivalent to the Hebrew of Joshua, which means salvation, Jehovah salvation. The name Jesus was a very popular name in the society of Israel for many years. It was until the first century of the church. And then we see because the Jews stopped it because it was so related to Christianity and they hated Christianity that they stopped the name of Jesus. Likewise, we see the Christians today, we have stopped the name of Jesus as far as been people naming him, naming somebody Jesus is not being used because of it's a special name. It's a special name. There's nobody you can compare to Jesus. Amen? Nobody physically that you can compare to him. So why name somebody Jesus? It's a special name. This is the name that God gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He highly exalted him. He gave him a name that is above every name. That's what God the Father thinks of Christ. And we see that because of that he named this. Christ is the most familiar title of the Lord. Christ is. The most familiar title is Christ. Christ's anointed one. Amen? We see that Jesus is the most familiar name of the Lord. He's spoken more about Jesus than he is Christ. He's the most familiar name for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Christ again means the anointed one, speaking of his claim to be the Messiah. He was the Messiah when he was here. Messiah in the Old Testament and Christ in the New Testament refer to the same person. The same person. He was the Messiah. We see Christ is his, Jesus is his earthly name. While he lived here on this earth, his earthly name. And it's found in the Gospels when it's used alone. Jesus is found in the Gospels when it's used alone. Because again, this was his earthly name. Christ is his heavenly title. His heavenly title. Christ is his heavenly title. And it's used more in the epistles. And not so much in the Gospels, but also more in the epistles, you see. These two names are found together more than 50 times in the New Testament. Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. The most popular name, the most glorious name, most wonderful name in the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is used to speak of him being humble. Jesus Christ is used to speak of him who humbled himself, but now who is exalted by God the Father. We see that Christ Jesus speaks of him who is exalted and once humbled himself. The Bible, you know, God tells us he will exalt those that will humble themselves. Amen? And we see this evident in the life of Jesus Christ when he lived here on this earth. So we see God the Father, what he thinks about his son, Jesus Christ. He's special. Jesus Christ places the emphasis on his human, earthly humanity, the fact that he was a man. But when we say Christ Jesus, it places emphasis on him being exalted in heaven. Christ Jesus. We also see that Jesus Christ is used more by the apostles. We see that Christ Jesus is used by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. And there's a reason for that. We see only twice is Christ, Jesus, used outside of the epistle of Paul. Only twice. And the reason is, the apostles knew Jesus, first of all, the Lord as Jesus. They knew him as Jesus. Jesus, the Lord, as Jesus. We see Paul, he first knew him as the exalted Christ. The exalted Christ. So we see this is the reference why he's used this way in the Word of God. So we see here that, first of all, that God the Father, he has exalted, he has honored his Son, Jesus Christ, by giving him a name that is above every name, a name that is above every name. Secondly, we see that God the Father thought of his Son so much that he gives supreme power and authority. Back in Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. God the Father has given power and authority to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember he says, he has destined that every knee should bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone in heaven, in earth, and even under heaven. We find in Isaiah 45 this fact of what's going to happen. We see also that every being shall bow their knees in subjection to the Lord one day. Every knee. You know, I'm so glad that God gave me discernment. God gave me the wisdom that He helped me to do that many years ago, to bow my knees before the Lord Jesus Christ. I accept Him as my personal Savior and to call upon Him. You know, it's much more wonderful to do it here while we're alive and to be able to serve Him and do serve Him for the years He gives us. And know without any doubt that you're saved on your way to heaven. God exalted His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave Him a name above every name. He's given Him power and authority. But I want you to notice something very special. Turn back to Mark chapter 2, speaking about power and authority. In Mark chapter 2, God has given Christ, that's power and authority. Mark chapter 2, begin with verse number 1. Notice His power and authority. He's given Him power and authority that every person will bow before Him. Every person will kneel before Him. But this is really very important to me. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again He entered to Capernaum, that is Jesus, after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. Jesus was in a house, it was filled with people, and He was preaching the word to them. In verse 3, and they come unto Him, bringing, that is they, some men, one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Four men were bringing one man to Jesus, and when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, Why reason you so things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick or the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to what? Forgive sins. Thus he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thine own house. Verse 12, and immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen this before. We've never seen this before. But we see here also the supreme power and authority that God the Father gave Jesus was, thank God, to forgive sin. He is the only one that can forgive sin, isn't He? No one else can forgive sin except Jesus Christ. God the Father gave Him that power and authority to be able to forgive sins of mankind. I'm thankful today to know that. That He is the forgiver of all our sins. So we see what God the Father thought about Christ. He's highly exalted Him. He's given Him a name above every name. He's given Him supreme power and authority. And we see also, last but not least, He's given Him supreme worship. Back over in Philippians chapter 3 again, where we see here what else Christ has done. God has done for the in Jesus Christ, He's given Him also supreme worship. Supreme worship, chapter 2 and verse number 11. Chapter 2 and verse number 11. The Bible says, and that every knee should confess that Jesus Christ is who? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God the Father has exalted Him. God the Father has given Him supreme power. And God the Father has given him supreme worship. He is Lord. He's to be Lord, the Bible says here. And we see here, again, the thought is that God will exalt man who humbles himself. And that's what Jesus did. He humbled himself, and God has highly exalted him. The word Lord means master or owner. In this verse here, we see Jesus was called Lord from the very beginning of his ministry. We find in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 2, the word again has been a title of respect throughout history. The name Lord. It's being respectful, respecting him. We see Jesus Christ himself called God the Father Lord over in Matthew in chapter 4. The title Lord is more than often given to Jesus throughout the Word of God. The Lord. He is the Lord of all. He's the supreme worship. The Lord Jesus Christ is for all men to be worship him. And we see God has given this. God the Father has placed this upon him. Supreme worship. He's the one to be worshiped in him only. The Lord Jesus Christ. We see Jesus is recognized as Lord. What does that mean? What does Jesus Christ mean by being Lord? It means simply he's master of owner. Did you know if you're saved today, Jesus Christ owns you? He's your master. He should be the master of your life. And everything that you do, every decision you make, you should confront him first. He's your owner. He also means the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is supreme. He's supreme, the only true God. He is Jehovah. He is God himself while he was here on this earth. He was God himself. We see as King of kings in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, the Bible tells us that he is. It says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords, when we see him. He's king. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. God the Father has given him supreme worship. Worship. We should worship him as king in our lives. The most majestic name ever given to anybody has been Jesus Christ. You know, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and his dominion throughout the whole world as he was here and lived and died, we see his authority cannot be questioned by mankind because God has put him in authority. His authority cannot be questioned. It's unquestioned. We also see that the throne he has cannot be threatened. Nobody can take Jesus off the throne. You know that? We vote for our president every 4 years. We can take him off, take him down. But you know, nobody can vote and take Jesus off the throne. He's unthroned because God the Father has put him there. He's placed him there. His throne cannot be threatened. His righteousness, the righteousness of his foundation was his administration. His righteousness was his foundation of his administration. We also see that there's no accountant that can inventory his treasure. His treasure is beyond inventorying. We see a surveyor cannot map out his kingdom either. It's so vast it cannot be counted. It cannot be surveyed, so to speak. Jesus Christ is to be Lord. He's to be Lord. We see that no army can throw the Lord of hosts off. No army can attack him. We see, in essence, what we're saying, that Jesus Christ has been rewarded by God the Father as King of kings and Lord of lords. We see he is giving him a name that's above every name. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and in every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Remember what the Father said when Jesus was baptized? This is my beloved Son in whom I am what? Well pleased. Well pleased. We see today what God the Father thought of Jesus Christ, his Son. He was precious to him. What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? You know, sometimes we just need to stop, get off our busy world, and just get alone. And write down some things that you think about Jesus Christ. Write it down to remind us what he's done for us. What he's done for us. There's no one like him. There's no one like him. There never could be or never would be anybody like him. I thank God that I know Jesus personally. Don't you? I'm glad I have had a relationship with him, and that relationship continues through my life as I live on this earth until he calls me home. And then I'll be with him physically. Not just spiritually, but I'll be with him physically. And what a glad day that's going to be, folks. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? I'm looking forward to the day that Jesus calls us home and we can go and be with him throughout eternity. Until then, let's not forget to think about Christ. What think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? I guarantee it'll make your day better. My day better too. It will focus more upon him than we do the things of the world. God bless. Help us. Father, we thank you today for loving us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his example. And oh, we're so thankful, Father, for what you think about him also. God, we know, Lord, that he was precious to you. Lord, he was willing to come to this earth and become a man, that he might live and die, that mankind might have the opportunity, the privilege, the joy of knowing you. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us. And Father, help us day by day to be reminded of this Savior, this your Son, Lord, the coming King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, help us, Lord, to make him King and Lord of our lives as we live here on this earth. Lord, our days are numbered. We're not going to be here long, but Lord, we're going to be in eternity with him. And that's a long time, forever. And what a blessing that to know that we're going to be with him. And many that have gone before us, and many that are living with us today, that we can be around the throne and worship you forever. God, help us to begin here in this life, God, to praise you, to worship you because of who you are to us. Bless the service that we're about to go into. Father, have your will and way. May Jesus Christ be exalted. In his name we pray. Amen.